right, go to Deuteronomy 1. Notice what he says. We won't go through this whole passage. Let's start in verse 7. Turn you and take your journey. This is God talking to the children of Israel through Moses. Take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and until all the places nigh thereunto, in the plains, in the hills, in the vale, and in the south and by the seaside to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now notice verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. If you look up that word set, it means in the Hebrew given, delivered, appointed, bestowed, something like that. All those words are mentioned. In other places, it's translated that way. Amen. So I have given the land before you. I have appointed. I have delivered it into your hands. I have bestowed it. I just like the first one. He can't beat given. I mean, I have given the land before you. I have. In other words, I did it. I already did it. Not going to do this. I have. I have given it to you. Is have, I know it's a hard question, but is have past tense, present tense, or future tense? It's past tense. I have already done it. Amen. So he said, I have done that. Well, why don't we have it then? Because that's not the end of the equation. Listen, what God has done for us by grace is not the end of something. It's the beginning of something. It's the beginning of something. So he said, I have given it to you. But he said, notice what he goes on to say. Go in and possess the land, which the Lord sware unto our fathers. This is what Christians have to get good at. Then this is what many Christians, when you start talking like this, I'm gonna go in and possess it. They get all twisted up in their thinking. They think, well, wait a minute now. Well, you got to wait for God to sovereignly decide to do it for you. And you got to sit by and sing Kumbaya. And if he wants to do it, he'll just do it. You know, it's all up to God. And they get all twisted up in their thinking. They say, who do you think you are? Well, my problem is not who I think I am. My problem is that you don't know who you are. People that say that, who do you think you are? You don't know who you are. You are permitted and actually charged to take what God has provided. He has. The Bible says in Colossians 1, he has made us meet. That means able, fit, and it's right for us to do it. He has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Partake. Take. Possess. Get it. Go after it. In other words, you're not waiting on God. Now, let me ask you a question here. Remember, the first generation of Israel didn't follow verse 8. First generation, they complained at Kadesh Barnea and they said, we can't. And they did without. That whole generation died in the wilderness. But was it because God didn't give it to them as a gift? Was it because grace hadn't provided it, if you want to say it that way? No. 1,000 times no. 1,000 times no. And 10,000 times 10,000 times no. No, 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 no. How many times do we have to say it? No, no, no. That's not why you don't have it. No. And again, no. And again, I say no. No, 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 no. How long do I have to say it till you get it? No, 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 no. Well, I'm just waiting on the manifestation. No, no, no. Is that what it says, Mark 11:24, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and then wait on the manifestation? No, he said, then you'll have them. When will you have them? When you pray, believe you receive them. When you pray, you got them. When you believe, you receive them. Literally, the Bible, there in Mark 11:24, it says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. The word believe is the, you could have translated it, firm persuasion. A belief is a firm, another synonym for belief is persuasion or firm persuasion. And receive is the same word translated take. Or the same word translated, like over in Ephesians chapter number 3, it says, talking about, it's not coming up, but it talks about laying hold with your inner man. You know, lay hold, I'm trying to remember how it says it there. But it's the same word. It means to take, lay hold, or receive. Or possess, sometimes it's translated. So with that definition of believe and that definition of receive, you could say Jesus said, when you pray, take it with a firm persuasion. Did you get that? Take it with a firm persuasion. How do I take it? With a firm persuasion of something, what? That you receive. I take it. I take it. That's not God doing something. That's us doing something. That's not what we're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us to take it. Because he said, I have given it. In other words, it's there for the taking. It's waiting on you or my faith. Now that changes everything. The problem I have with the doctrine of sovereignty, and you've heard me attack this thing over and over and over again, and people don't like it, but I'm going to keep on saying it. Because it has sent more people to hell and more people has kept more people doing without than all the devils in hell combined. Of course, they propagate that doctrine. But you understand what I'm saying? A religious idea of waiting on God to do something that he's already done. That's why I have trouble with the modern day. No, hear the way I say this. The modern day version of the message of grace. I didn't say the message of grace because the Bible teaches grace. But the way it's preached nowadays, it's just all up to God. It's already all done. You don't have to do anything. Let go and let God. Does that sound like take it with a firm? Are these basically the same things? Let go and let God. And is that about the same thing as take it? Go in and possess it? About the same thing, right? Huh?
No, sir.
Pretty close.
No, sir.
Huh?
No.
Not even.
No.
Not even close.
No.
Opposite end of the spectrum. I mean, but we've got a lot of people leaving it all up to God. Well, he knows we prayed, but since it didn't happen, he knows we didn't really need it. So, you know, he didn't do it for it. Well, wait a minute. Wait. If he said it's yours. He knew back then that you needed it. That's why he said it's yours. Think about it. By his stripes you were healed. I took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. Why did he do that? He knew we needed it. He knew we needed it. So let's not try to put words in his mouth about, you know, and try to talk for him about whether he knows we need it or not when he already said he knows we need it. And he said also about financial supply, the Father knows that you have need of all these things before you ask him. He knows you have. So he's already provided for the need. So don't lay that off on God. Okay, we prayed and he didn't do it, so I guess he knew we didn't need it and he's trying to teach us something. It's a bunch of baloney, and if I wasn't saved, I'd say it a few other ways. But I am saved. Aren't you glad? Cleaned up my mouth. Hallelujah. Just that's, you know, in case you're wondering how I feel about it. That's when you get a revelation of this message of faith, you hate anything that puts people in neutral.
Yes.
That makes them passive. Because you know that's their defeat. That's what Israel did at Kadesh Barnea.
Yes.
That's what Israel did. They sat back and complained, and they waited on God to do something, and they said, we can't, and God's going to have to do that. No. God said, no, you're going to do without. Now, chapter 1, verse 8. Look at chapter 1, verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord thy God, the God of thy fathers, has said. Look at chapter 2, verse number 24, just in case you're not sure if he really meant it. Chapter 2, verse 24, rise you up, take your journey, and pass over this river, over the river Arnon, behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. So three times, and these are really not all the times the Lord said this same thing. Got down verse 31, chapter 2. The Lord said unto me, behold, I have given, begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit the land. You remember the New Testament, Hebrews 6, talks about we're to imitate those who through faith and patience possess the promises. Enter into their inherit. The King James says inherit the promises.
Yes.
Amen. Inheriting is not something you sit back and wait on. Inheriting is something you go after. You get up and you start going after it. We were talking about not sitting back and waiting, but moving in faith. Make some steps. Go after it. Act like it's really yours. I won't ask how many of you did anything that night. I told you before you go to bed. Last Wednesday night, I told you. I won't ask. Because it's really not my life. It's your life. You can live without. I'm going on. You can live without. But what takes time? Somebody said, well, what takes time sometimes? It takes time for us to lay hold. You understand? We were talking about that in many different ways. And so, but tonight, let's go back here. Look at Psalm 84, verse number 11. Can you go real quickly to several verses? I want you to see them. Put your eyes on them. Circle them. Put stars by them. Highlight them. And then put a box around it. And then also put smiley faces all over it. And type it out, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your forehead. So every time you look in the mirror, you see it. This has got to get on the inside of us. Psalm 84, look at verse number 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. He's done that now in the New Testament, hadn't he? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold. He's not a withholder.
Then
you get religious people saying, well, we just don't know what's good for you. Well, if you got a brain, you do. Don't get off in stupidity. Amen. I could take you all through the Bible and show you what's good. The Bible said all these things are good. Remember, the Bible said he'd make us plenteous in, this is Deuteronomy 28, plenteous in goods. Fruit of thy land, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. These are all goods, not bads, they're goods. Oh, I don't want any of this old world's evil goods. No, it's not evil, it's goods. Amen. We could go on and on. But we won't take the time. But I wanted you to see, no good thing does he withhold. Let's come over to the New Testament, James chapter 1. In order to believe you receive, you have to believe this. You have to believe he's not withholding. You have to believe that it's freely given, that you're not waiting on him, in other words. So let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. There's three things. To walk by faith, there's more than this, but I'm just pointing three of them out, that you have to know and believe about God's giving nature. You understand what I'm talking about? And so James 1, notice verse number 5. It says here something about God's giving nature. I've got to turn to it myself. James 1, 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to some, no, to all men, that's women too. How does he give? Liberally. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He giveth to all men, what? Liberally. Liberally. Say liberally. Hallelujah. All right. So that's one way God gives, liberally. Hallelujah. Now notice Romans 8, verse number 32. I think we've gone through these before, but that doesn't mean it's top of mind or top of heart or something we're conscious of all the time. You realize we've got to get our doctrine from the Bible and not by experiences we've had in this world where Satan is God.
Amen.
And where we've had experiences that don't line up with this.
Amen.
But we don't get our doctrine by our experiences. We get our doctrine from the Scriptures. So he gives liberally, all right? Romans 8:32. Let's see what else another aspect of his giving nature. He that spared not, this is talking about God, you can see that from the previous verse, spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him, when's he going to do this? When he gave Jesus, he gave us with him. Also freely give us all things. Okay, now here's another aspect of God's giving nature that we must not violate by unbelief.
Amen.
You got that? You hear the way we say that? We can violate these. We can start believing something other than this and accusing God of not being a giver or not giving liberally or not enough or not freely. How does he give? When it comes to his giving nature, he gives how? Reluctantly. Slowly. Oh, you got to twist him at the arm. And that's what your faith is all about. You're just twisting his arm and twisting his arm, twisting his arm, till finally he says, all right. You've passed the test. I'll do it for you. Not at all. Well, then what takes so long? Well, there's a couple of things. It's a lack of believing, or it's just the opposition of the enemy. But your faith is not trying to get God to do something.
Amen.
Faith is tapping into what he's already done.
That's right.
And what he's already given.
That's right.
Freely. And we've learned liberally.
Yeah.
How does he give? He gives what?
Freely
and what?
Liberally.
In other words, not small.
Right.
In fact, whenever you receive, he doesn't say, now give me another month. I got to recharge my batteries, man. That was a lot of power. You pulled on a lot of my power. And I mean, woo-hoo. No, he's got plenty in store. And he gives it liberally. So freely and liberally. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy 6:17. Let's base our doctrine on this rather than what we think and what we feel. Because of experiences. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but, you could add, trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things that we need. No, he's way... Don't go to God and say, well, God, I really need this. And he goes, okay, well, since you need it. Because that's not the way he thinks. That's not the way he thinks. Give us richly all things to enjoy. But how does he do it? How does he give?
Richly.
Okay, so three aspects of God's giving nature. The three aspects of the quality of his giving nature that we must not violate by unbelief. We should never start believing that it's hard to get God to do something. We should never start believing that it's just you got to twist his arm because he gives freely. I mean, if he gives freely, you don't have to twist his arm. And he does it liberally and he does it richly. And he must do it right now. Or else God told us in Mark 11, I'm talking about these redemptive things now. God told us in Mark 11, 23, 20, 24 to believe when we pray to believe that we receive them. When we pray, he told us to believe that we receive them. Okay, so he must give right now. Really, he's already given. But people think they're waiting on God. But really, let's think of it this way. If God doesn't give it right whenever you, in other words, whenever you pray. Like I said, really, he's given it already. But even to meet people on a lower place of faith, if he doesn't give it right there whenever you pray. And he told you to believe that you receive it when you pray. Then he's told you to do something you can't do because if he didn't give it, you can't receive it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You remember what John the Baptist said in John 3:27, talking about Jesus? A man can take nothing to himself. Well, actually, it says receive, but it means take to himself. Man can take nothing to himself except it's given from heaven. So you can't take it with a firm persuasion unless heaven gives it.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to come over and I'm going to take your house by faith. No, I can't do that because it's not given. Some of you looking at me like, really, you are? No, you can't do that. Should we stop and explain that? That's not faith. That's covetousness.
Amen.
Amen. So, unless it's given, you can't take it. But what if it is given? John 3:27, a man can take nothing to himself unless it's given from heaven. The context there is Jesus taking something because it had been given. Remember, his ministry was increasing. And people, John says, his disciples said, all men are going to him. And John said, well, he can't have that ministry growing like that unless God gives it to him, unless heaven gives it. But the context was he was taking it because heaven was giving it. If heaven gives you something, you can take it. And there's no slap on the wrist for doing it. In fact, you read the book of Isaiah. I didn't look it up before the service because it's just coming to me right now. But there's a verse there in Isaiah that talks about, say this to the eunuchs take hold of my covenant and do the things that please me. It pleases God for us to take what the covenant has provided. It pleases God. You ought to look that verse up. Maybe there's one I could let you look up rather than me look it up for you. Hallelujah. We have to get good at possessing. See, a lot of Christians don't think in that term. They think of waiting on God. And I wouldn't doubt that there's areas of you and my life that if we examine it real closely, that's in our mind. That's what we're doing. We're waiting on God. And God said, you're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on you to possess. I'm telling you, waiting on you to lay hold. Why can't we do that right away sometimes? Because our mind is so unrenewed.
Amen.
Amen. Believing right comes from thinking right.
Amen.
Comes from thinking right.
Amen.
Can't believe right if you think wrong.
Thank you.
Amen. I don't know if you got that or not. All right. So those are three aspects of three qualities of God's giving nature that we must not violate by unbelief. Examine yourself. Am I believing that I'm waiting on God? I found people, there's some people that just keep moving. In fact, I like something Dr. Summerall said. He said, whenever I need something, he said, I start doing something.
Amen.
He don't sit and wait.
No,
he gets up and starts doing something and starts taking it.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah.
And boy, he was a man who knew how to take. Oh, man. He had a grunt to his faith. I love the spirit of faith Dr. Summerall walked in. And so, there's three of these qualities we must not violate by unbelief, especially the freely one. That's where a lot of people are violating God's true nature by unbelief, especially the freely one. Remember Matthew 10:8, you might not remember the reference, but I'll give you what it says. You'll remember what it says. He said, freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received. Freely is another verse saying the same thing. And here's another one, Romans 3:24. We're justified freely by His grace. 1 Corinthians 2:12. He wants us to know the things that are freely given to us of God. Freely, freely, freely. Freely. In other words, not reluctantly, not begrudgingly. Just freely. God is a dangerous giver, I'll be honest with you. He told the children of Israel, he said, I'm going to give you Canaan's land because I said I would. He said, I know you're going to go in there and you're going to serve other gods with it, but I give it to you because I do it freely. And I know. He said, I told you I would, so I got to keep my word. Well, what if I backslide with it? That's you, not God. There's another sacred cow I just barbecued. Anybody want to get some barbecue sauce out tonight and get some... Amen. So we said there, God wants us to know the things. 1 Corinthians 2:12, write these verses down. He wants us to know the things that are freely given to us by God. Freely given. Boy, that needs to get down on the inside. Not reluctantly, not begrudgingly. Remember it said over there, we read it in James 1:5, he gives to all men liberally, and notice, he upbraideth not. He upbraideth not. In other words, he doesn't find reasons not to. He doesn't say, well, you know. Amen. The issue, you know, what if I've got sin in my life, so forth and so on. The issue is not God will say, no, I'm not going to do it. The issue there is it affects your conscience. And you have a hard time reaching up and receiving. That's just the way that works. Sin does that to people. All right, Romans 8:32. Also, he wants us to, he freely gives us all things along with Christ. Revelation 21:6 and Revelation 22:17 say the same thing. Revelation 21:6 and Revelation 22:17. Anyone who is athirst or thirsty, he said, I give him the waters of life freely. Then he says, come and drink freely. Notice there's two sides to that. I give freely, but you've got to freely come and drink freely. Remember, he said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I got it open, Lord. Okay, he said, I can still fill it more if you can get it open wider. Because I'm a liberal, generous God. I give richly, liberally. Hallelujah. So walking by faith means believing these three things. It means believing other things as well. But these three things about God's giving nature. I like that. When we endure in faith, it's not so we can just keep twisting God's arm to do something. When we endure in faith, it's to overcome the enemy's opposition. Amen. It's not God finally saying, okay, I'll give it to you. No, he did that 2,000 years ago. Isn't that right? It's that when the enemy sees you won't quit, then he stops opposing it. You have to outlast him and prevail. You're not prevailing over God's unwillingness or reluctance to give. You're prevailing over the enemy who's trying to hold out against you. Trying to keep you in the realm of sight by saying, see, it's not working, see. And if we walk in the realm of sight, he's got us back where we don't receive because it's faith that receives. How many of you know you got an enemy arrayed against us? And he's trying to keep us out of the blessings of God. I wish it wasn't so. I'm a nice guy. I want you to have good things, and I wish it wasn't so, but I can't lie to you. He's the one opposing you. Now, here's another one, 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Amen. It looks that way sometimes, but this verse said, don't go there. Don't go there. God is not slack concerning his promises. I mean, you look up the word slack, it's someone who doesn't follow through with their responsibilities. They're a slacker. You ever heard the word slacker? I've watched some people working on our house up there in the last couple of weeks, and some of them are slackers. I told Pastor, I came home one day, I said, boy, that crew that's up there now, if I was their boss, well, I probably wouldn't have hired some of them. But if I was their boss, I'd cut at least an hour every day off of their paycheck. Sitting around waiting, and one guy went up there several times. Every time I go up there, he's sitting in the truck. Slacker. The boss put him on that thing to do a job. You know what I'm talking about? Slacker. Well, he's saying God's not that way. He's on the job. He's. I'm not trying to be disrespectful when I say this or irreverent when I say this, but he's Johnny on the spot kind of thing, you know. He's with it. He's on it. Amen. When you pray, believe you receive. Bam, there you go. Okay. In other words, you have to believe in the immediate response. You have to believe in the immediate response. Hallelujah. So don't form your doctrine about what God or who God is by looking through all the smog and fog of the curse down here and your experiences down here in the natural world where Satan's God. Because you don't get a true picture of your Father or his free-flowing supply into your life by just looking at experience. You get a true picture of who he is and the true doctrine of who he is by looking in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember the Bible said he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Amen. There is evil present down here in this world. There is an enemy arrayed against you. He's trying to hold you in the realm of unbelief. Trying to hold you in the realm, well, I guess God didn't hear me. I guess God in his good time, he'll do it for me. He knew I didn't really need it. I guess that's why he didn't give it. See, that's all moving back over into sight and basing what you believe on what you see or the experience you've had. Whenever that's totally opposite of all these verses we just read. So we've got to keep our doctrine. We keep our faith based on the truth, not on what we think or not. And we got to guard our mind. Does that make sense? If it's slow in coming, don't let the hindrance distort your thinking about God or his free, liberal, generous, giving, amen, nature. This is what faith is for, is to hold the devil in the arena of faith whenever it doesn't look like it's so. Remember when Jesus cursed the fig tree? You couldn't see anything. And that's the context of when he taught us about faith. You couldn't see anything had changed for 24 hours. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, the Bible said he then walked off. And 24 hours later, they came by, and Jesus was going to walk right on by, but the disciples stopped, and Peter saw it and said, look, the fig tree, which you cursed, is withered away. And Jesus said, wow, it finally happened. No, he said, when you pray, believe you receive. In other words, you think he practices on preaching?
Come on, yes, sir. Amen.
Well, now you can release faith by pray in praying. You can release faith and say it. Jesus, in that case, releases faith and say it. Amen. But he did as Jesus practiced his own preaching. Whenever he said, when you pray, believe you receive. He did that on the fig tree. In other words, right now. When I spoke, I released mine in my words. When I spoke, I believed I got that. I believe that fig tree dried. And the Bible said Peter really, really picked up on it. He said, look, it's dried up from the roots. That's not the way most trees dried up. Most trees, I got trees. I know what trees, how they dry up. They stop, the leaves at the top, you know, don't grow on the top branches and it comes down. I got some right now. I'm going to cut them down, you know. But this one dried up from the roots. Praise God. Hallelujah. What does that represent? The roots represent the realm you can't see.
Yes.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
This is just simple teaching on faith. But we've got to not move from these basics. The roots, you can't see the roots. You can see the branches, but you can't see the roots. And he's saying that dried up in the, it started in the realm you can't see. In other words, it started immediately. But you couldn't see it for about 24 hours. And that's the way every time you exercise faith, immediately things start happening. Angels, I commission you to go. Immediately, boom, they go. You might not see the results today, but they're on the job. They're working, it's coming. Immediately. Glory! What he's saying is believe that. Believe that. Believe what you cannot see. Well, I don't believe anything that I can't see. Well, then Jesus said, blessed are they that do not see and yet believe. Well, I want to live the blessed life, so I'm going to have to believe what I cannot see. Oh, it's getting real. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So don't blame God. Don't blame God when you can't see something. You remember that parable Jesus gave, I believe it's the 18th chapter of Luke. Again, it just came up in my spirit. I didn't look it up before service, but about the unjust judge. I've heard sermons preached on that, and people wax eloquently about what that means. And the whole thing, everything, the sermon from the beginning to the end was a lie. Every verse in that passage said, lied, you lied, you lied. They think God is the unjust judge. They preach that as if God is the unjust judge. When all through the Bible it calls him the righteous judge of all the earth. He's not unjust, he's righteous. In other words, he doesn't do wrong things. He doesn't withhold. Remember that lady Kent went to the judge and said, you know, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. Remember that? And then it ends up saying, well, when God comes back, well, he finds, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Well, that's what we're doing. We're believing and trying to get God to do things for us. No, you read it very closely, and he called that man an unjust judge, and then he said, that's not the way I am. He said, God avenges his elect speedily. How much more speedily can you get than right now? Speedily. Speedily. But he said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? In other words, people believing that, even though it looks like God's waiting, holding out on them. I asked the Lord one time, I said, well, who is the unjust judge that in that story? What's that story about, that unjust judge? He said, don't you remember I said, don't judge according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment?
That's right. Amen. That's good. Amen.
The unjust judge is what you see. Why, some of you are thinking deeper tonight. It's what you see. That's telling you a lie.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
Judge not according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Appearances will say an unrighteous thing to you. It'll say, God's holding out on you. He knows you didn't really need it. Or you know, you're just waiting on God. Now, I'll say it again. I'm talking about the things that redemption covers tonight. I'm not talking about, you know, the next phase of his plan being revealed or something. There's other areas of faith that we walk by faith. But I'm talking about these things that we receive because of redemptive rights. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil hates the message of faith because he wants to get us off of faith. Some used to preach faith real strong, but now they preach against it. I know what I'm talking about. And sometimes, in fact, many times, it's because something didn't work out the way they thought it should. We were trusting God and our son died, so that means it's not always God's will for all to be healed. Well, if your experience is a greater and higher authority than the Word of God, we'll go with that. That's what people are saying. This is a higher authority. What I experience is a higher authority than what I read in my Bible. No, 1,000 times no. Amen. Why not have the humility, we're talking about this before we left for California, have the humility to say, Father, somewhere we didn't make our connection. Why is it always on God's side and never on our side? I mean, we're the infallible ones, and I guess God's the fallible one. I mean, he's the one that messed up here. I mean, you know, we... Huh? No, that's heresy. In case you're wondering. So now they preach it's all up to God. Because we prayed the prayer of faith and it didn't happen, so it's all up to God. Jude 1. Go over to Jude chapter number 1. Just one chapter there, but it says in verse number 6, he's talking about... Jude 1... Verse number 3, excuse me. Verse 3, he said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. This is the message of faith. Earnestly contend for it. Why? Why would you need to earnestly contend for it? Because there's something trying to take it away from you. Something trying to get you off of faith into something else. Now, into what? Into what? Let me first of all read the Woost translation. Give me a few minutes here. I'm going to finish something up. I had constraint laid upon me, the Woos translation said, I had restraint laid upon me to write you. In other words, the Spirit of God really dealt with him about this. Beseeching you to contend with intensity and determination for the faith, which was faith once for all entrusted under the safekeeping of the saints. He's talking about this message and this lifestyle of living by faith. The just shall live by faith. Isn't that right? This whole chapter deals with a recurring theme. One thing it deals with is eternal security. Once saved, always saved. And he had strong constraint laid on him to contend with intensity to fight against that which was being preached in eternal security. And was laying aside the message of faith. Amen. Why would they need to contend with intensity and determination for this faith? Because something was trying to wring it out of their hands and replace it with something else. Now, what was it that was trying to they were trying to replace it with? Verse 4. There are certain men crept in unawares. This is happening today. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the Lord God, the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one translation says, perverting the grace of God into moral anarchy. Right after he said, contend for the message of faith, he said, there's coming... Actually, coming, God looked down through the channels of time and he saw the day we're living in. There's coming a perversion of the message of grace. Hold on with me now. Amen. He said, hold on to the faith, the message of faith, which was delivered once unto the saints. Amen. Then watch out for a perversion of the message of grace. Are you with me tonight?
Yes,
hold fast to this message of faith.
Yes, sir.
Because there's coming a perversion of the message of grace. Amen. This was said long ago, and we're seeing it today. I heard something on TV. I put it up on my iPad app, the news app, and a person on some show talking about grace, and I'm living in immorality, but see, it's all under grace. Yes, I'm having sex with my boyfriend, but it's all under grace. I'm a Christian. I love God. Don't tell me I don't love God. You know, and all that. And I thought, that's what this perversion of grace is talking about. My Bible tells me in Romans 6, verse number, what is it? I don't have the reference in front of me. It talks about people that if you're under grace, he said, grace sets you free from the dominion of sin. You're not under the dominion of sin because you're under grace. Sin shall not have, here it comes, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, you're under grace. So if anyone's really under grace, sin doesn't have dominion over them. But since sin has dominion over that dear lady, she's not under grace. She said, I'm under grace, I can live any way I want. My Bible tells me you're not under grace. Under grace means you wouldn't live that way. You wouldn't have, sin would not be in dominion over you. And that's just one verse. This is another one. I mean, let's go over, let's see here. It talks here somewhere about turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Well, it's right there in verse 4. That's the one I'm looking for. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. What does lasciviousness mean? It means just throwing off restraint. Living any old way you want. Amen. That's exactly what this perversion of the grace message is doing today. Now, let's take it a little further. Y'all still with me? I got to finish this up. He didn't say there would be perversion of the message of faith and we'd have to fight for grace. He said there would be distortion of the message of grace and we'd have to fight to lay hold on to the message of faith. What's being preached today is throwing the faith message out the window. It's all up to God. It's already all done. I'm already all forgiven. I'm forgiven for my past, present, and my future sin. So I can live any old way I want because I'm already forgiven. That's not what my Bible tells me. It tells me that grace doesn't teach me to live that way. It tells me that. Go back to Titus. Go back to Titus. I believe it's Titus. I'm endeavoring to. There's a scripture trying to come up in my spirit. I'm trying to find it. Praise the Lord. Everybody still loves Pastor. It says, grace teaches us. Titus chapter number 3, I believe, here. I'm looking for it. I don't know. There's a verse that talks about grace teaching us not to live in immorality. 2:11, 2:12. Yeah, 2:11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. What's teaching us? Grace. That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace teaches us. What's it teaching us? To live right. To deny sin. Live free from sin in this evil world. But let me tell you what else this perversion. See, there is a true message of grace. But let me just get. I just need a few minutes to finish this up here. There's a perversion being taught out there today. But it's also, it's not only perverting the message of, you know, you can just live any old way you want. I mean, it's that's a perversion. That message is perversion. But it's also saying it's all up to God. You know, the message that is being preached is just grace, and they're saying it's all up to God. What he said in Jude, he said, don't go with that perversion. Hold on to the message of faith. Amen.
Yes,
there's a split. There's people that have gone off into from the faith camp over into the grace camp. Somebody say, which one do we follow, faith or grace? Yes. Both.
Yeah.
It's, but everything is by grace through faith. By grace through faith. Grace is what provided it. Another word for grace is gift. Remember, we started out talking about anything that is a gift, you can receive right now. But listen, just because I got you a birthday gift and try to give it to you doesn't mean you receive it. I had a great grandmother that she had the hardest time in the world receiving. You try to bring her something. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. No, you need that more than me. You know, and just had the hardest. See, well, you couldn't hardly give her anything. She didn't want to feel beholden to you, like she's got to do something back. Listen, if that's the way you are, you're in bondage.
That's exactly right.
You need to be able to receive.
Yes.
And not feel like you got to do anything for anybody. I've told people before, listen, I'm not doing this to get you to do anything for me. I'm doing this because I love you. I want to be a blessing to you. And you go your way and hold your head up high, and you don't act like you owe me anything.
That's right. Amen.
Sets them free. That's the way we need to be. Well, I feel like I need it. No. Just get free from that bondage. If you want to out of the leading of the Spirit, fine. But you're in no obligation to give me something back in order to pay for this or prove that you really are thankful or something like that. Just receive. Be a good receiver. Amen. So, are you getting what we're talking about tonight? And so, which camp do we need to go with? There. Listen, back in the 70s and the early 80s, the faith message also had brought into it the in Christ truth realities. That's all about what grace has done for us. We need that as well as the message of faith. In Christ, we are the righteousness of God. In Christ, we are healed. In Christ, all the provisions, we've been delivered. We've been given boldness. We've been accepted in the Beloved. All those things are in Christ. And we must keep preaching that. But see, it's not just all God. That's God's side. Am I preaching all right? There's another side to everything. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part, not God's part. Which part do you think we need to pay attention to the most and work on? God's part? Make sure he's doing what he's supposed to do? Trust me, he's on the job. Amen. Hallelujah. Without grace, there's nothing to put your faith on. It's not just by faith. No, it's by grace through faith. So without grace, there's nothing to put your faith on. But without faith, there's no receiving of the grace. We're saved by grace through faith, and so are we healed by grace through faith and everything else that he provided by grace. We enter into it by faith. Which one do you pick, grace or faith? Yes. But what we're preaching to you tonight is you don't have to do anything to get God to do his part. He's already freely given. Well, if that's already so, why is it taking so long in my life? It's our side of learning to lay hold of that. That's what we're teaching you tonight. If you can get that, are you understanding what we're talking about? Shake your head, say amen. Amen. We need to know what grace has given us, don't we? And we need to talk about it, and we do. I appreciate Pastor Ike's ministry along that line. The in Christ truths, he's just real strong. I love that. We need to keep a hold of that. And we need to keep a hold. He also preaches faith. Keep a hold of. I like something he said one time. He said, any doctrine or any revelation, I think is the way you said it, that doesn't show man his part is not complete revelation. It's not complete revelation. Amen. Another word for grace is gift. All that God's grace has given us is a free gift, isn't it? But the only gift you will receive, only gift you will enjoy is the one you receive. That's why the first generation of Israelites never enjoyed Canaan's land. They would not go take it. Receive is actually too mild a word in the for the way God's saying to do this. Remember, he said the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. That's possessing. That's going after it. That's not sitting back and twiddling your thumbs and waiting on God to sovereignly do something, because that's not going to work. Amen. If the blessings and provision of God are by grace alone, then grace alone means God alone. And that's not a new revelation. That's a replacement or a repackaging of an old doctrine called sovereignty. It's not all God, and it never has been all God. Oh, I'm happy. I'm glad I came tonight. Never has been. People say it's all God. If that's the truth, then and it's all God, and then it's all grace, then everyone's saved. And that's basically what this excessive grace message is going into nowadays. Everybody's saved. I even heard, well, I didn't hear him myself. I heard him secondhand. One guy even said, you know, even the devil in the end is going to be saved. Because, you know, God wouldn't send anybody to hell, and he's a love God. Can I deal with something else while we're on this? On the news sometimes, they'll get a dumb preacher on the news, and some interviewer will say, well, if God's such a loving God, why would he send anybody to hell, and throw the microphone in their face? Amen. Because they'll say, Jesus, when he was here, he preached love and acceptance, right? Wrong. He did preach love. He preached the kingdom of God and that all men should repent. That's in your Bible. And he added the message of love. But the first thing he came preaching, and he continued it all through, was that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. We quoted that Matthew 11, where it talks about kingdom of heaven, suffer violence, the violent take it by force. Luke's account says that, and men should repent, and then they should take it by force. Well, I don't know if you got that or not. Praise the Lord. See, we live in a day of the perversion of the message of grace. It's tried to get in this church a couple of times. Two different people, that they got a hold of that real strong. And I couldn't work with them anymore because they wouldn't listen to the truth of God's word. They wanted to think their own thing, and they all wanted to live in sin, every one of them. Why is it that that makes them more like the world rather than more like God? Because it's a doctrine of devils. It's a doctrine of devils. Amen. Why? Because the devil wants people to be passive and leave it all up to God. And whenever they're passive, then they don't enter into any of the blessings of God. Hallelujah. People say it's all God. Well, then everybody's saved. No, that's not true. Jesus didn't say that. He said, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not, well, you know, we're all under grace, so they'll go to heaven anyway. Poor Jesus didn't know, you know, what we know today about grace. I know it's tough, but you see, we've got to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. No, he said, he that believeth not will be damned. Somebody said, well, God's love, he would never do that. Wait a minute, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. People go to hell. He didn't do that.
No, he didn't.
He made the way out of that.
That's right. He did.
They did that. That was their choice.
That's right.
Don't lay that off on God.
Amen.
You know, it's getting pretty tight, but it's getting pretty right, isn't it? Jesus has paid for everyone's, you know, the price for everyone's salvation, but not everyone's saved. Who will be saved? Those that believe and receive it. Amen. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:12. Trying to get to this all night. Oh, my goodness. It's already time to quit. 1 Timothy 6:12. Here's really the bottom line of this whole thing. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Now, he's writing to Timothy, a man already born again, and he said, lay hold of eternal life. He can't be talking about the new birth. The new birth, I mean, the eternal life is much more than the new birth. It is a quality of life down here in the blessings of God. He not only called it eternal life, but he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's not just eternal, it's a quality of life, abundantly. Abundance of peace, abundance of joy, abundance of provision, abundance of health, abundance of soundness of mind. Oh, you can go on and on and on. Hallelujah. All right, so he said, lay hold. People say, let go and let God. Sounds exactly opposite of lay hold. There's two things God will not do for you. Number one, he won't resist the devil. Number two, he won't receive anything for you. You got to do that, and you got to resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? How about resisting all the thoughts that brings to your mind and says, you didn't receive. See, you didn't receive. Well, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith and answer those thoughts with the Word of God. Amen. People say, it's all him, and he's already done everything. True and wrong. He's already done everything, but it's not all him. Amen. Hallelujah. This is nothing more than a doctrine propagated to rob people of an appropriating faith. Get them to wait on God for something that he's waiting on them to appropriate. Amen. If it was all God, everybody would be experiencing full redemption right now. Nobody would be sick. Everybody would be saved and healed and so forth. Amen? But it's not all him. He said, fight and lay hold. Didn't say let go and let God. You ever heard that? Just let go. We just don't need to let go and let God. Let go and let God. What's that mean? Tell me what that means. I don't know. We just need to let go and let God. Not at all. Matthew 11:12, the days of John Baptist, since that day the kingdom of heaven has been preached, and forcefully men enter into it, and they have a violent faith. Hallelujah. It's a type of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, them entering into Canaan's land, is a type of what I'm talking about. Desire is not enough. You've got to believe that you receive right now. And no longer am I waiting. I got it. I got it. I got it. Thank you, Lord. I got it. I got it. Thank you, Lord. Father, I got it. And hold the enemy in the arena of faith.
That's right. Amen.
You know, if it was easy on the flesh, I mean, and the mind could figure this all out, then everybody would be doing it. But see, it requires you exit the flesh and enter into the spirit, and most people don't know. I believe something I can't see. Millions of good-hearted people are begging God to do something. You know what I'm talking about? That's why this message of faith has been entrusted to us, and we're to hold it fast. Most people on the planet don't yet understand Mark 11:24. But it is a sacred trust, a revelation that was given to my spiritual father, my first spiritual father, Brother Hagin. On his, what would have been his deathbed. And he preached that all over, and it went all over the world. But still, you can go outside of these walls and boom, right, just as quick as you snap your finger, run into somebody waiting on God. You're waiting on the sovereignty of God. Well, if it's his will, he'll do it. Millions of people don't understand Mark 11:24, but that's why we've got to hold fast this message and keep on preaching it. Teach them to lay hold. Teach them to take it by force. Don't wait on, you know, religiously wait on God. I'm talking about things He's already provided in His provision. You understand what I'm talking about? And so they think they're waiting on God, but they're not. Amen. We're not trying to take something away, anything from God that He doesn't want to give. I'm closing. I can feel that unhook, but I'm closing. We're not trying to get Him, you know, get Him to do something He's not already done. He's already done it. He's just waiting on us to receive it. Amen. So whatever God's provided by grace, I'll say it again, that's not the end, that's the beginning. Now, we're going to have to lay hold of it. Like Brother Hagin said, he said it many times, it's not going to fall on you like ripe cherries off of a tree. That's his way of saying the sovereignty idea is not going to go. It's not going to work. Just waiting. You know, if I'm hungry and I'm sitting under a cherry tree, I'm not going to wait for cherries that are ripe to fall. I'm going up and I'm going to possess those cherries. Amen. Take. Possess. Chomp down. Get another one. Amen.